I'm here to tell you that Jesus lives. I was here about 2 months ago now, a little less than 2 months ago. Since then, I've been on both sides of the world, in the Philippines, and just came back from Israel a few days ago. He lives in my heart, and he goes wherever I go. Or rather, I go wherever he goes and where he takes me. The word that I use more than anything else is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. I found that is true in days of victory. I found it in days of adversity and bankruptcy. I don't have time this morning to do all the things that I would like to do in telling you about how God has led in our lives. But I can tell you that God is saying to every one of us here this morning, what is that that you have in your hand? What am I preparing you for? And he intends that we use it for him. Now, I personally, and we're selling boats in 49 countries now. We're in China teaching water skiing in 15 provinces. Last week, the folks that are in China teaching English came to our office to see if there's a way that we can work together in China. And I can tell you that the formal operation of the church in missions is fast giving away to the opportunity for Christians to witness in the business world and in a way that until today we haven't had the opportunities to do. Transportation, the things that God is opening up around the world. But we as individuals need to get our priorities straight. And there are some simple priorities. My dad taught my brothers and I, there's three of us. He said, never make a decision on the basis of money. Your decision has to be for a better reason than money. And I can tell you that God is not short on money. God never has a problem with money. He has the problem with the hearts of men. The difficulties that I have in making decisions, I don't find are based on money. I find it based on what my willingness is to do for him. The Chinese have asked for 1,000 more English teachers. Now, you know who these English teachers are? I've met a lot of them. And most of them are the sons and daughters of the missionaries of yesterday that were trying to get into China, trying to get into the Orient, and couldn't. But you know what's happened today? God is now taking these people over there, and the Chinese are paying the expenses for them to come, and the people are already interested in what they're doing. Our missionaries before have many times spent years and never seen a soul saved. Never had a chance to get people's attention. And today, we're finding that, my, the young people in China that want a water ski are ready to listen to the testimony that the Christian water skiers go over there to teach them as to their witness in Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ means to them. Our business started very small. We moved to Florida in 1925. I was 10 years old then. Soon after we arrived in Florida, my dad lost everything he had. His family had been in the boat business back in New England, so he built some rowboats to pay for bread and to put food on the table. The business has grown from that. One day, we had a new preacher come to town. Soon after he came to town, he was a young man. He wasn't married when he came. He later married my fourth grade teacher, so I got to know them both real well. But soon after he came to see my dad. The church was on the corner across the street from the boat plant, so everybody could see the boat plant real well from the church. And he said to my dad, "Mr. Maloon, you are the most influential man in our church." Well, my dad wasn't much for flattery, but he learned the next 10 seconds that it wasn't flattery. Because he added soon after that statement, "But you are also the biggest stumbling block." And my dad said, "Pastor, how can that be?" And he said, "Well," he said, "I have been talking to our young people about going to church on Sunday and making it really the Lord's Day, and said, they all point to you and say, 'Well, what about Mr. Maloon? He runs his business all day Sunday.'" My dad said, "Pastor, if I didn't do that, I wouldn't be able to pay my bills." The pastor said, "That's not true, Mr. Maloon. One day you'll find out that you don't pay your bills anyway. God pays them all." And he said, "God can pay your bills in 6 days just as easy as he can in seven. And you can get a day of rest." Well, it took about a week. I can remember my dad going to that pastor's study every day for a week. And when he came back late in the day, there was tear marks on his cheeks. But when it came that weekend on Saturday, he brought a number of metal signs about so big. When we tore that old plant down, I wish I had saved one of them. But the sign was about like this. And it said, "There will be no business transacted here on Sunday." You know, it didn't happen overnight. But he did get his bills paid. And not only that, we found out that he had one day gone back and paid the college bills for that pastor that he had not been able to pay yet when he went to college. But that pastor told me this story. He said, "I was brought up in Bluntstown, Florida, or near Bluntstown, Florida. And if you know where that is, it's probably the most backwoods place in the state of Florida, way up in the west part of Florida." He said, "They were having the annual meeting at the church. And I was listening every night as we all went, the whole neighborhood went. And the Lord kept speaking to me. But," he said, "it wasn't until I was out what they call chopping cotton, which is really hoeing it." And he said, "I was working out in a garden in mid-morning and it was hot." And he said, "All of a sudden, I knew that God was calling me to preach." And he said, "All right, Lord, I'll go." He walked out of the garden. He went to the house. He leaned the hoe against the side of the old farmhouse. He went inside. And his mother said, "Ottaway," I never heard that name before or since, said, "Ottaway, what are you doing?" And he says, "Mother, God has called me to preach." He got the old washtub out. That was the only bathtub in those days. He filled it with water. He got in it. He took his bath. He got out. He took all the clothes he had, tied them up in a towel, in a ball about so big, and tied them on a stick. He kissed his mother goodbye, and he said, "I don't know where I'm going." She had asked him, and he said, "I don't know. But," he said, "God has called me to preach, and I've got to get an education." As he walked down that dusty road out to the country road that went by the farm, he said, "Now, Lord, I don't know where I'm going. All I know is you have called me. I'm supposed to be your preacher. But I've got to have my training. And you'll have to show me where to go. Now, when I get to the end of the road, I don't know whether to go that way or whether to go that way. But I'm going to stand there." And back in those days, which was the early 20s, he said, "If a car comes this way, I'm going to thumb this way. If a car comes this way, I'm going to thumb this way." And two or three came, and nobody stopped. And he just thumbed each way. Finally, a man saw him standing out there, and when he thumbed a go, he put his brakes on and he stopped. Ottaway ran and got up beside the car. He said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "Can you drive a car?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Well, would you get in and drive? I've been driving all night, so I need some sleep." Well, the man took a little nap, and then he woke up and he said, "Tell me again, what do you intend to do?" And he says, I really don't know." He said, "All I know is that God has called me to preach. And I don't have any education, and I'm going to get my education." He said, "Well, do you have any money?" And he said, "No." He said, "Where do you plan to go?" He said, "I don't have any idea. I don't know." And the man said to him, "Well, you know, we're going into Panama City in a few minutes." And he said, "I have a friend there. And," he says, "I think he can help you." And he said, "I'll show you where to go." So he told him how to drive up to the house and went through the city. And they pulled up to this great big white house. And he said, "Now, when you get to the door," said, "you go up and knock on that door. And when you get there, you ask to see Dr. Bob Jones." And he went up and knocked on the door. And this lady came out. He said, "Can I see Dr. Bob Jones?" And in a minute, old Dr. Bob, I knew him well because he used to come and stay in my father's home. Not before that, but after that. And he came to the door and he said, "What do you want?" He never was anything but blunt. But Ottaway said, "I've come to learn to preach." And he said, "Do you have any money?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, that's all right." Says, "We'll teach you to preach. After you learn to preach, then you can pay us." I want to tell you, the decisions that the Lord has given me to make, the ones that I have made on the basis of money, are the ones that I've had trouble with. If we can be in God's will, He knows where more money is, or other ways. He don't always need money. I understand some of you are going to visit the Sundo camp in Hong Kong this year. I happen to be in on the original building of that camp, the original starting of that camp. I went out, John Bechtel showed me all around Hong Kong. I said, "I have a vision to build a camp for young people in Hong Kong," because he was born there, of missionary parents. And he speaks Chinese so that if the Chinese don't look him in the face, they can't tell he isn't Chinese. And I said, John, I've got the vision with you. I'll go back and raise the money. Well, I came back to the States, and I went all over showing slides and telling people about that camp that should be built, and nobody put any money in. The basket was back by the door, and everybody thought it was a great deal, but nobody put any money in. Until one night, I spoke in a little church on the north side of Orlando. And the next day, just as regular, nothing in the basket. The next day, a lady called my wife and said, Mrs. Malone, I hate to bother you with a little thing like this, but said, my daughter heard your husband talk about the camp for young people in China, in Hong Kong. And she said, God spoke to her and told her to give her ice cream money. Now, says she's only 12 years old. And says she doesn't have much, but she has a dollar that she wants to send for that camp. My wife wisely said, well, don't discourage her. Have her send the dollar to Mr. Malone. Well, that dollar came in the mail the next couple of days. And I was so excited about it, I spent $9 calling Hong Kong to tell John Bechtel we had a dollar. And John said, send me that dollar. I mailed that dollar to Hong Kong, and he put it in a frame and put it over his desk to remind him to pray. About that time, the Christian Children's Fund representative in the Asian area came through and called John and Tony Ballback and said, would you have lunch with me? They said, yes. They went to lunch with him. And he said, you know, the Children's Fund is going to close the Fan Ling Orphanage. And we wondered if the CNMA would be interested in this. Well, John and Don jumped at it and said, oh, yes, we'd love to have it. 200 beds, the kitchen, everything for 200 young people to move right into. See? So they called headquarters. The CNMA said, we don't have any money. We can't buy anything. We have no money for new programs. So they had to go back and tell him that they couldn't take it. Many months later, nearly a year later, he came back through town. And he called them again and asked them to have dinner with him or lunch with him. They went to have lunch. And while they were eating, he said, are you still interested in the Fan Ling property? They said, yes, we are, but we don't have any $250,000 to buy it with. That's the price they had put on it. He said, well, you know, there's a funny thing happened. He said, my people in Richmond have told me that if you're going to use that camp for a young people's camp, that they do not feel it will change the intent that the people had that gave the money for an orphanage. And said, they have authorized me to tell you that they will sell you that camp for $1. John got that $1 of ice cream money that God laid it on the heart of that little girl to give, and bought that camp with it. As of last summer, one day, the record showed that 6,104 people have received Christ in that camp. Don't make your decision on the basis of mammon. Jesus says we cannot serve him and serve mammon too. God bless you.